Podcasting Live.
Got a project you'd like to tackle, this would be a great place for you to spend the weekend. Come on down. The gates open here in about another hour. We'd love to see you at the University of Phoenix Stadium for the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show. Here with Rosie on the House, broadcasting live. We're here, and we're set up in the big motorhome here, and we're set up to take your phone calls if you've been trying to tackle a project through the course of the week and got stumped, or you've been in the planning stages of another particular project and you have a couple questions on how to get started, what tools or products we might recommend, anything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin. Feel free to give us a toll-free number at 1-888-767-4348. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, because people are kind of looking at projects, things, there's definitely an upsurge right now in remodeling activity. There's more dumpsters out there than I've seen in a long, long time. There's lots of activity. There's more lumber trucks running down the yard. There's the road. There's more masonry block and pavers and bricks going down for deliveries. It's really kind of a very refreshing time if you're related to the construction industry. This is kind of like a little breath of fresh air after holding our breath for a couple years. And a lot of people ask me, Rosie, what, how about permits? Where do I cross the line about getting permits? So go ahead, let's pour ourselves another cup of that Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and let's have ourselves just a little bit of a visit here about when you do and when you don't permit. You know, a lot of people are under the impression that permits are a burden and they're a way for the building department to harass you. Actually, I'd like to try and change the homeowner's view of what permits are. Permits are actually an assurance that you are getting the project done in a way that meets current industry standard building practices.
No one ever wants a permit for a project they're about to do. But anytime they buy a house, they want to make sure any improvements have been done with a permit. It's a convenience thing. And you don't want it when it applies to you, but if you're buying it from someone else, man, you better, that's not permitted. You got to get that inspector out here.
Boy, and that is a huge, huge issue right now with the housing industry having come through what we just came through. A lot of investors got involved in buying homes at the very rock bottom, putting some paint and some new floor covering in them, and listing them back for sale. Paint and floor covering, you don't need a permit for. But some of these investors got a little aggressive, and they upgraded some electrical, or they added a bathroom, or enlarged the kitchen. There's a lot of what the industry, we call these flip houses, okay? And any of you that are looking at the interest rates not right now and are in a position where you can come back out of the rental property and start looking at purchasing a home, this is a great opportunity for you young couples, or those of you that lost your homes in this last downturn. This is an excellent opportunity to get back into a house. But please beware, many of these flip homes were done without licensed contractors and without building permits. So, to address Romy's point, you, the buyer, are very, very invested in knowing everybody that touched this house, everything that was done by a licensed contractor and done according to building codes. The real estate agents are becoming sharper and sharper about asking that question as they're listing the property. Is there anything here that was ever done without a permit? Is there anything here that should have been done by a licensed contractor that wasn't? And I think on the behalf of the realtors, that is a very, very smart move, because we have been flooded at Rosie on the House in the last year and a half, 2 years, with homeowners in high levels of distress. They've bought one of these flip homes. The investors no longer available to access. The work was done with unlicensed contractors. There's no recourse to the register of contractors. And they have essentially bought a pig in a poke. And it is a house riddled with problems. May look good on the surface, but riddled with code violations all back behind, underneath the walls and everything else. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. The other thing I want to talk about, again, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, and we got a couple responses to it. A lot of you that maybe have been fighting this economy the last couple of years and you're in the building trades, you know, I'm happy to say that the Rosie certified contractors from Flagstaff to Green Valley are almost all hiring. If you're good enough, if you're in the trades and you're looking to upgrade to a better company, or you're in between jobs and need a job, send your resume to info@rosieonthehouse.com and I'll get those resumes to the right people. If you're looking for work in the trades, maybe you're an air conditioning contractor in Marana and you decide you'd like to be a heating contractor in Flagstaff. Huh? You know, maybe you just had it with these summers and you'd like to move to Flagstaff. Or if you'd like to relocate within Arizona or you're a tradesperson looking for work, send us your resume. I think we can probably, you know, get you in touch with several companies that are hiring. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, of course, we're going to be honoring the 19 fallen Granite Mountain Hotshots by attending the Dierks Bentley concert at Tim's Toyota Center. We were very, very fortunate to receive a strategic phone call just as the tickets were opening. And Rosie on the House did secure one of the VIP suites. We've reserved four of those tickets to give away to listeners. Yeah, I think it's completely sold out. I don't think you could possibly get a ticket anywhere for that concert except Rosie on the House right here. We have four. We're going to give away two this hour and two next hour. Stay tuned. You have to be listening to the show. And you have to have used one of the Rosie on the House partners in northern Arizona.
Okay, Do I have to live in northern Arizona? Or let's say I've got a home in Munns Park.
Okay.
And I had to have, you know, Tom Riley come over and put an addition on it. But I live and I work in Phoenix. Do I count?
Well, we're making the rules up as we go. So
we'll see what entries we get and then we'll decide.
Yeah. So the issue is, if you're listening on CAF Radio out of Flagstaff, Chasm Radio out of Sedona, or KQNA out of Prescott Valley, Quad City areas, and you've used a Rosie on the House listener, and you can get to 10. These tickets are pretty valuable, and we don't want someone to say they can be there and not be there. So I guess regardless where you live, if you have a house in northern Arizona, you've used a Rosie on the House partner, and you want to attend the Dierks Bentley contest
concert.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna have you email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. The names of the Rosie contractors that you've used, shoot that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. That'll make you eligible for a drawing that we'll do a little bit later today after we'll pack up and leave the home show.
We'll do 1 hour. So
we'll do
everything
one
that comes in between now and 10 o'clock will be the first set, and then everything from 10 to 11 will be the second set.
And we'll set it again for 10 o'clock. Okay, sounds good. Like I say, we're making it up as we go. Let's see if we can welcome Richard into the conversation, who called at the beginning of the show to get on early. This is a man that's got a project on his hands and needs a tip or two. Let's see if we can guide him along. Good morning, Richard.
Hello. Good morning, Rosie. Romy.
Yes, sir.
We got a house that we just, kitchen's pretty great, but we're having the tile redone in the kitchen, and the wife said, hey, kind of wanted an island put in there, so kind of researching everything, we found the exact cabinets and everything, and we were thinking about doing that, but what's the best way to anchor that? Do you just glue it with like some PL 2000 or something to the concrete floor, or because when I was looking at the cabinets, I didn't see any great way to anchor it if you were to drill a hole in the concrete or anything.
Well, that island cabinet, Richard, does it have a toe kick on one or two sides, and then it's flush on the back in one side?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got where you put the toe kick on the drawer side, and then the back side, there's a panel or something you got to put on there to cover that up and everything, some trim pieces and so forth.
Well, what we would typically do is position the island exactly where your wife wants it. Now that's important, Richard, where your wife wants it, okay?
Never mind all the stuff that they tell you at design school about this work triangle.
Yeah, she said she kind of wanted an island. Well, make sure she kind of knows exactly where she wants it. Place that island where she desires it and go ahead and mark the concrete there where the toe kick is. And then I would tell you that I would glue and redhead a 2x4 to the concrete on the back side of that pencil line, okay?
Would it need to be pressure treated?
It would be best if it would, although interior wall like that doesn't necessarily need to be if we get our plumbing. You know, there's always moisture in that kind of arena for sure. But I would just glue and wedge anchor or redhead anchor or, you know, mechanically anchor it to the slab, let it dry. Then I just lift the island up over it. I back it up to that stud, and I just use a little pin nailer and pin nail to that.
That'll work. That ought to work great then.
And then that little toe kick piece comes separate, and you attach that toe kick piece with a finish nailer, and then you don't even see how you attached it. And, you know, I don't know, if it's a 4-foot cabinet, you can probably do that with 4 pieces at each corner. If it gets any longer than that, stretch it out about every 2 to 3 feet, get a block down on the ground.
Now, if you're putting tile down as your finished floor, would you set the tile up to the cabinet and then put the trim on, or would you put the trim and tile up to the trim?
Well, I would set the cabinet and put the toe kick on, and then I would set the tile to that and then grout after that. The other thing I wanted to tell Richard is make sure he has a block on both sides so that the cabinet is mounted front and back. Because if things happen at your house like happened at my house, at Mardi Gras parties and Super Bowl parties, and people are jumping up and jumping and sitting on the island.
That fourth and four LSU touchdown.
Yeah, that fourth and four LSU touchdown gets kind of wild and crazy at the Romero's house. You want it bolted down to the point where you can, you know, assure yourself that it ain't going to flip over on some grandchild or
and
something.
The cabinets will probably be a lot flatter and straighter on the bottom than the concrete, so you'll probably need to shim it a little bit.
You might have to. Hopefully the concrete isn't that bad. We'll be back. Y'all stay tuned. Rosie on the house.